Have they changed it since last time? My goodness. All right, so we are officially recording. I will call the meeting to order. It is 9:05 a.m. Joining us today is our legislative subcommittee members. We have Kathy Kalush, we have Amy Blackman, we have Trista Guzman Glover, and we have Brandon McFadden. At this point, Marshall is absent. To start the meeting, well, I just called the roll call. We would like to select a chairperson, if you will, just to kind of lead the proceedings of the rest of this meeting and the subsequent meetings of this. So I will turn it over to the four of you that are on the meeting at this point to decide who would like to take those reins, because it really shouldn't be a staff person doing that. Obviously, we're here to support and we've got the bulk of the meeting, but again, there needs to be someone that calls the meeting to order, adjourns it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I'll lead everyone.
Awesome. Thanks, Brandon. So now that we have Brandon leading the meeting, we will go to...
Oh, no, no. I was actually saying I'll leave that to one of you guys.
Oh, lead it. I thought you said lead it. All right. Sorry.
Well, so in the absence of anything, Brent, if nobody else wants to do it, I am familiar with, you know, Robert's Rules of Orders. I'm the chairwoman for the American Association of Cosmetology Schools that represents beauty, barber, and wellness schools across the country. So I do have regular board meetings, but I am not inserting myself into it, but I'm familiar. So in the absence of anybody else wanting to do it, I have no problems doing it.
And I was going to say I could do it as well.
Oh, well. Paper, rock, scissors.
Right.
Yeah, it's you know, just get it going. Knowing that you got the experience, I wouldn't mind using you as a chairperson.
So I think let's go with, I'm going to say Kathy, since she was first, if you don't mind, Trista, so that we can move us along. Okay. And so the next agenda item is that review and discussion of the desired legislative updates. Kelly did send out that document to all of you last Friday. Kelly is leading both the rule revision process on behalf of the organization, as well as the legislative changes. As a reminder to our subcommittee members, at this point, these legislative changes, the vision of these legislative changes are primarily the consolidation of the two organizations, consolidating statute where it was appropriate, cleaning up statute where it was needed, as well as a handful of probably minor, what I would call minor changes, just to make things clearer now that we are a consolidated organization. So at this point, I would like to turn it over to Kelly to share the document on the screen, go through things. She has a process, and I think you probably saw what her process was within that document. And so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our Deputy Director, Ms. Shepherd.
All right, everyone, let me make this a little bit bigger. So I sent you two documents last Friday. This is the first document. Before I start, many of you are probably familiar, but just for the good of the cause, I'm gonna go over this again. Statutes are actually set by the legislature. They're not set by us. So the purpose of this would be for us to get to a place where we would have agreement on what we would want our proposed statutes to be. And then we would need to find a legislative sponsor. I think we typically have worked with Representative Dunn to take this to the legislature next session, which starts, I believe it's the first Monday in January after January 1st. And so it would take it to the legislative session for them he would sponsor that, go through committee, and then being voted on by the legislature. And then the proposed statutes would go into place 90 days after the legislative session closes. I believe that's correct. So just so you know, this is not a given. We still need a legislative sponsor. Statutes are the high level that guide all of our Arizona administrative code. So in some ways we did things a little bit backwards, but it's easier for us to change rules than it is for us to change statutes. And because that was one of the things we needed to do with the consolidated board, we started with the rules first. So this is kind of going hand in hand. So with that high level, what I did is I went through our current barber statutes and our cosmetology statutes, and I put together a document for you that basically walks through all of the statutes that we have on both the cosmetology and the barbering side. The barbering statutes were much lighter than the cosmetology statutes. But I did go through, in red is all of the new legislative language that's already passed, and I made sure I added that to our proposed statutes. In blue, so I basically used the cosmetology statutes, and then I blended in the barbering statutes into those. So anything in blue is from the barbering statutes. And then green is basically a change in terminology. So we're going from salons and shops to establishments, so it covers everybody. So that was the biggest terminology change. But you'll see on the left-hand side, there are different kind of titles to run us through. Again, these are all in current statute, all these different titles, so it was just blending them all. The X is because I don't know what number they're going to assign to them, but it follows along. So I'm not going to per se walk you through this document. I'm hoping that you read through it. Obviously, anything in strike through are things that we're going to take out. So let me just show you real quick the other document I provided you, which was what we're hoping that this committee can discuss and make decisions upon. And these are all in the proposed statute. So I gave you the statute number references to see our proposed language, if you agree to our board recommendations. So we have, again, on the side, we have some licensing decisions, establishments, schools, and some regulations. There's only really a few kind of big items to discuss. I think the other ones you will find fairly simple. But again, I wanted to go through. So let's just walk through the first one, individual licenses. We have that an applicant for a barber license is required to be at least 16 years of age. But for cosmetology, it's at least 18 years of age or 16 years of age with at least 2 years of high school. We are recommending that the age and education requirements match between the two. And we are recommending that it would be at least 16 with 2 years of high school or 18 years of age. So that's where we see some differences in statutes that we're just trying to make the same moving forward. Any questions about those two documents?
Nope, it's clear.
Okay. Then Kathy, I'm going to turn it over to you as to which document you would like to review or talk about, and I'm happy to put it up on the screen for you.
First of all, thank you, Kelly. I've reviewed bylaws before, and it is tedious, and these rules and regulations are so tedious. It's pages and pages and pages of rules and regulations, and so thank you for taking the time. This is very detailed work. And so what I saw, and I would love to get, you know, Trista, Brandon, and Amy's, I feel like when I looked through the proposed statutes and really how you're just trying to merge the two boards together, that everything looked to me in order. It all made sense. And just want to get consensus from the other members that they feel the same way, because I'd like to focus on the document that you just actually had up, because I did have a couple questions. So Amy, Brandon, Trista, are you good to focus on the not this one, but the other one? Okay, great. So the statute items to discuss. And so, you know, I remember having a conversation, and honestly, this was years ago, and I believe it was with Marshall at a conference. And so my memory is not going to be perfect, but I remember having this conversation about the difference between the 16 and the 18 year olds, and that, and Brandon, I think you're from the barber side. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Is that, you know, that it was whenever these rules were put into place, you know, kids were trying to make a living, right? Trying to make some money. And so it was at 16. But my concern about 16 is just versus the 18 is just the burden of responsibility on sanitation and infection control that since we are trying to kind of have the rules the same, that you should be probably 18 to be a barber or a cosmetologist. That's my thoughts. Doesn't mean it's the right thought. And so I think this is a good discussion to have about the age. And if we left it at 16 and not 18, you know, what would be the really good supporting data to support either one?
I'll take this one. Speaking from experience, it is a touchy subject. Yeah, 16 is a very immature age. I was fortunate to get into school at 17 and became licensed at 18. So I would highly recommend 18 being a good legal state or age, just for the responsibility reason, like you said, the sanitation and the stuff that comes along with barbering. It's not you can't just jump right into it. I think you need some other experience to take the career as a real profession. And so I would recommend 18 as a license, you know, but with some possibility to get into school at 17. You know, I went through a deck of marketing class where I was, you know, got the approval. And but if that's not a problem, you know, if you got the 2 years education, you know, to get into the school. But legally, I think you should make it 18 to get your license.
Okay, that's great. I do know, like at my school, we do enroll 17 year olds. They just have to have their parent sign the contract as well. But by the time they're done with school, so that's great input. Amy, I saw your hand up, and then Frank.
Hi, I work with Gateway Community College, and we enroll hundreds. I've dealt with thousands of high school from age 16. So if they're able to drive a car and be out there with the death trap, they are absolutely able to handle safety and sanitation. We have successfully graduated many of our dual enrollment students. It would almost hurt some of them that are acquiring a GED or moving on to other avenues in their life if we don't allow them to be kind of at the 16-year-old age where we're still allowing them to drive. Sanitation is really hosted by the school, in my opinion. If the instructors really nail it in to how important it is so that we're not spreading disease and all different kinds of communicable things, that almost hammers home. Like, some of our high schoolers are more protected and protective than the adults, because the adults tend to lose sight of what's really happening. That's my professional opinion, working with high school every single day. Thank you.
Yeah, so that's good, Amy. But are they're in school? Do they start then at 14? Because, or are they getting their licenses at 16? Or are they enrolling in school at 16? Can you clarify? You know, because by the time they get licensed, are they 18?
Well, Certain dual enrollments, they allow them to enroll at 16 years old. If the student chooses to go and get a GED while currently enrolled and they become a high school graduate, then that is that fine line that it runs on.
Got it.
If they're in a WESMEC program or they're in an EVIT program or something like that, they're in a 2 years. Typically, they are 17 years old when they graduate. So it hinders a lot of them. Like my daughter particularly graduated at 17 in May. So she would want to have gotten her license and then, you know, gone through the summer being able to work, not have to wait until her birthday in December to turn 18. So,
okay.
So, and that was actually going to be my clarifying point too, that might, but I think you just said it, Amy, is I think the distinction, what I want to be clear about here is the issuance of license would happen at 18 years of age, not necessarily the enrollment in school. I think those are two separate pieces to be considered, but I do hear you saying that there are, like in your daughter's example, there are some 17-year-olds that are graduating from high school and would have potentially completed the program at that point. So I just wanted to draw the distinction between enrollment and licensure being two separate things.
So, and I do want to say real quick, I've kind of highlighted it. For licensure, we do currently have on the Cosmo side, either 16 and 2 years of high school, or they're 18, regardless of whatever their high school status is. So that is what we're talking about. Currently in statute, you can be 16, 2 years of high school, graduate school, and get licensed.
Yeah, we certainly have had 17-year-olds, but they've had that 2 years of high school. So thank you for that, Kelly. Great distinction.
And it actually looks like now that we've talked all the way through this and I've got what the recommendation is, that's what the recommendation still says.
Yes. Yeah. So I think we all agreed to go with the board recommendation, which is if you're 16 and have 2 years of completed high school, or you're 18 years of age, then both a barber or a cosmetologist or an esthetician or a nail tech. So it really would be the same for cosmetology. Nothing changes. It would be on the barber side.
Yeah, it would just be matching the two together. And again, either one still requires graduation from school. We didn't have that in here. The biggest issue is we wanted to match up the age requirements.
Yeah. So I would imagine we need to do a vote here. All those in favor of the board recommendation, say aye.
Board, let's, I'm sorry, Kathy, real quick, board, let's just be clear that the board recommendation for number one.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Board number one, yes. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Any of the opposed? All right, it passes. So individual licenses one as the board has recommended. Okay, moving on, the re-examinations, only the cosmetology statute references any law on the re-examination process. Apply re-exam process to all licenses. I think that makes sense.
So currently, right, people can re-examine if they need to. We just didn't have that on the barber side. So we wanted to make sure that that was inclusive across the board.
Okay. So any discussion on this? We're all good? Go right to a vote? Just trying to keep us moving along here. There's a lot here. So in regards to number two, board recommendation, apply re-examination process to all license stamps. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Great. Number two passes as well. All right, reciprocity. If the applicant for the barbering license has obtained a barbering license issued by another country, and has not obtained a license within this country, the board determines whether the applicant is proficient for cosmetology, hairstyling, all the others, with licenses that are foreign issued. Applicants must have graduated from the appropriate school and obtain equivalent license from countries with similar requirements. And the board is not authorized to determine the proficiency of any applicant other than barbering. Kelly, Frank, do you have anything to share on this one?
Yeah, so this is really, again, for kind of reciprocity. I will tell you, we'd had a very recent example of this. We had a woman from Afghanistan who was applying for reciprocity for hairstyling. She didn't she had school hours, but they don't give a license because it's Afghanistan. They only give women certificates. And currently in our statute, for cosmetology, it says license for license. On the barbering side, we've had similar issues for out of country where they may or may not have licenses, but we've allowed the board to determine if somebody is proficient. So again, this is trying to make it similar on both sides because of other countries' requirements or their laws may not match ours. It would allow us to determine proficiency for licensing.
Okay, so this is just really allowing the Cosmo side to provide proof of their competency and experience as a substitute for proving their education. I think that's fair. Amy, Brandon, Trista, any discussion?
I mean, I would hate to see people backdoor the situation where they can go to another country and get a license easier. You just want the floodgates to open with this, to get a license easy. So I'm not familiar with the curriculum that these other countries are teaching. I can't go with that. I would like to see get certified through us.
I would disagree on that just because I like that it allows the board to assess their proficiency. I think people who are coming to this country, they're trying to come here and work, and maybe there are instances where they're not proficient by what their country provided, but there could be situations where they call it a certification and it's completely fine, and they are. So I like that the board has discretion in that, and I wouldn't want to make someone go through and do an entire program all over again just because we can make them do that if we wanted to. I don't think that's appropriate.
Frank?
I think what I would add to this, and I think we had some discussions, Kelly and I did at least, and I think even with Bruce, I think that then subsequent to if there's agreement on the recommendation, that we would then actually have them go do the, if we would institute in rule that they would have to go take the practical examination as proof that they have the abilities. Do I remember that correctly, or was that a different piece of statute, Kelly?
So I don't think, just to be honest, I don't think we currently have that in this version of the rules, but we did discuss it, that would be something. So the way to kind of, to your point, Brandon, determine proficiency is not only, right, they may or may not have a quote license, but they would have to pass our practical exam, and then we could determine that proficiency to license them here.
Got you. I agree with that.
Yeah, I would agree that would be a good compromise. We certainly have seen, I've had people come from out of country and even out of state that has a different licensing plat. Before Arizona had hairstyling, but Oregon has hairstyling. And then they come to Arizona and there was no hairstyling license and they had to take the cosmetology program and they're not happy, right? She was already a licensed person. So is there is there also a way in language to, and I know that the, so you're saying that the actual reciprocity law says license for license. Do we have any way to circumvent that even by saying that if they have a certificate, a license or certificate, or can we not trump the actual law language? But I think that asking them to take a practical test would be a reasonable ask of them. Because Brandon, I do feel you're right. People come over and they're trying to shortcut a situation.
Yeah. Reciprocity in the U.S., it is license for license.
Okay.
I'm not sure that the board, the staff of the board, I think we would like to keep that the same, because there's already some differences in schooling. So within the U.S., this was really particular to foreign countries who don't necessarily have the same kind of licensing requirements that we do. So just clarification of that.
Okay. All right. So do we agree that we would amend the recommendation to include that they would take the appropriate licensure test? Is that where, yeah, in addition, the applicant must pass.
And we were thinking, my thought process was that we would have them take the practical examination, right? That they're proving to us by some other means that they've got the theory part of it, right? But if they can go take the theory test, which I think is $70, or not the theory test, the practical test, it's $70. It's not, yes, there's a tiny burden there, but it gives us that health and safety or assurance that they do have the skills and abilities to be able to do that. And we could add IFP to that as well, Amy.
Yeah, good recommendation, Amy, because we know that other countries, lower income countries, do not have the level of sanitation that we do here in the US, and we would definitely want to make sure that they understood where we're at. So
yes.
And I think, you know, a $70 practical exam, yeah, it is a $70 burden, but it's a significantly lower burden than having to do an entire program again. So, you know, that's something that I'm very comfortable with, and I feel like will give us a good idea of whether this person is, from a sanitation and health perspective, able to practice cosmetology in our state.
Okay, thank you. All right, so number three, allow cosmetologists, nail techs, hairstylists, esthetician provide proof of their competence and experience as a substitute for proving their education. In addition, as amended, the applicant must pass a practical examination for their license type and make the infection prevention and sanitation class provided by the board. So all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Great. As do passed. Okay, number four, barbering instructor. Instructor must be 19 years of age, hold a high school diploma or equivalent, and the cosmetology side, instructor applicants must be 16, hold a high school diploma or equivalent, or at least 18. So here we are equalizing to hold a diploma from a high school or equivalent and submits to the board satisfactory evidence that the person is at least 19 years of age. Any discussion on that?
I like 19 on this one because there's no possibility not to be age discriminatory, but they wouldn't have enough years of experience under them to be a true instructor.
Agreed. Brandon, Trista, any other comments?
No, I'm definitely with Amy on that one. 19, you need experience. Yeah. Good making.
Yeah, I'm good with that. You can't have experience if you haven't been doing it for a while. Oh, that makes sense.
Right. You're a 17-year-old teaching a 35-year-old. That's always challenging as well. Okay, so for number 4A, got that, Frank. Keep me straight. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, great. 4A is passed. And I thought I saw Marshall. Yeah,
just, Frank. Just going to say Marshall has joined us.
Hi, Marshall. Oh, you're muted. If you were talking, I can't tell. We're just going to, my name is Kathy Kolusch, and we're just going through all the statutes and we're voting, making any amendments we think are necessary. It's really a process that Kelly and Frank have gone through to really merge the rules so that it's equalized on both the Barber and the Cosmo side.
Okay.
Okay. So we've gone through the first four and passed them, and now we are on 4B. All right. So if a Barbary instructor holds a valid instructor license from another state, they are exempt from completing the examination requirement. This is not true for the Cosmo side, and the board recommendation is, oh, this is the one I was talking about, Frank. Require the written and practical for all instructor applicants. And I know my thoughts are, is that, first of all, I think this is a big subject. The town hall meeting, I'm going to kind of veer off a little bit. You know, one of the number one things that I noticed that got said in the chat box was, can we bring back the challenging of the test for educators? There's such an educator shortage, and we have universal reciprocity. And actually now, while the compact isn't enacted yet because only three states have done it, but if they have a license from another state, they should be able to come here and just have reciprocity. They shouldn't have to pass any more tests. And so making them take the written and practical exams from the instructor licenses seems like that old phrase, barrier to entry. They've already done it in another state. They're typically teaching at a school in another state, and we should accept that license for license here without a requirement to take the exams over again. So would love to hear what everyone thinks, because that's kind of how it is now on the Cosmo side, and it should be the same on the Barber side.
I
think where we are running into trouble here is there are few, where the concern lies here is there are very few states that actually have instructor licenses, if I remember correctly, Kelly. And so we were trying to balance the fact that there are that we would be able to do a license for license reciprocity from quite a number of states, because as I'm starting on, as I'm understanding more about this, it's that there's some states, I can't say a lot, but there are some states that basically have the master license, and that allows the individual to teach. But we can't, that's not an instructor license. It's not equivalent in Arizona. So they can't do that license for license reciprocity. So all of that to say, just some additional context, I think, where we were coming from on this. But Kelly, if you have anything.
Well, we have a bill that we passed last year that goes into effect on October 31st, where we will accept people from, like, so California, Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, So neighboring states do not have educator licenses. And so we said, but they've been teaching in a school for years. And so for them to have to come and take our 350-hour program just seemed redundant. And I know I interviewed many people with 10 years of experience. And so as long as they can, and they provide documentation from their former employer that says they worked in that school in the state without educator licenses for a minimum of a year, that they would be granted, grandfathered in under the reciprocity. So that goes into effect October 31st, because I got a line of instructors. So Amy, to answer your question, yes, as long as they provide the documentation from that former school in the state, then it would be accepted. So Kelly just said maybe C and D are important here. So barbering instructor applicants must have practiced barbering for a minimum of 2 years. While on the Cosmos side, they're only required to possess 1 year. Lower the barber requirement to 1 year. And then, unlike barbering, Cosmos, yeah, without anything, must take the 350-hour course. So yeah, it's kind of a big, it's a bundle, right? It's all kind of a bundle. So, right, so we're trying to make everything the same. So with all of that, I guess the first thing is that if you're coming from out of state, and with our new law that's going to effect on October 31st, that if they have documented 1 year of experience, that they should not have to take the exam. Because we need to, that's a barrier to entry. They're already professional educators. So it's not, I don't think it's so much about they're a master Cosmo. It's just they were a working teacher in a school. So I'd love to get other people's thoughts.
Yeah.
Brandon.